Mr. Chair and fellow commissioners, my name's Jim Risk, and my evidence is in support of David's evidence, in particular respect to paragraph 31 to 33 around the use of a decision support tool called Mitigator, which we undertook on David's property.
Good morning and welcome. Just before you start, we read your evidence, so you don't need to reread that out to us.
Yes.
You don't even need to read paragraphs from it, but if you want to highlight just the key points you'd like us to bear in mind, that would be great.
Yep, I'll just highlight some key points in respect to the background of the use of this model, and then the case study across David's farm. As you will note from my evidence, this is a GIS-based decision support tool. So it looks at all four nutrients, phosphorus, nitrogen, coli, and sediment. Importantly, it looks at it in a spatial context, and I think that's a key point, is that it provides us with an improved understanding of how nutrient loss occurs now spatially across the farm landscape. And what we know from research is that nutrient loss doesn't occur evenly across the farm landscape. It occurs in some areas more so than others. And it's with this understanding that we're able now to have a very visual depiction of nutrient loss spatially. And what I observed from some of the workshops we ran up and down the country in the initial stages of this project was that landowners were able to resonate very much so when they had a visual depiction of nutrient loss occurrence across their property, so it was very farm specific. And that provided, what we saw was it helped facilitate an improved understanding of some of the mitigations that may be required in order to address a particular nutrient. Importantly, it allows us now to have a more strategic approach, particularly in respect to the efficacy of a particular mitigation or suite of mitigations, combination with one another, and also in respect to the costs, because implementing, as David has done, wetlands, sediment traps does come with some cost, and having an improved understanding of how we can rank those mitigations beside one another in terms of efficiency and combination of cost is very important. And what we saw on the Dip Roads property when we ran this decision support tool across the property was that we saw in the case of phosphorus, just as an example, was around 55% of the phosphorus loss occurred across a relatively small area of the farm. So that provided us with ability to think strategically about what mitigations are best suited to what areas on the farm landscape. So it very much focuses our thinking and where the most appropriate mitigation, and also, as I mentioned, considering costs, should be placed within the farm landscape. Also importantly, when we look at these risk areas or critical source areas, and in combination with other background farm data such as soils, slope, etc., paints a picture now and provides an improved understanding of why actually we see different amounts of nutrient, in this case phosphorus for example, being lost from these critical source areas. So it affords us a much improved understanding. The other point to note is that we were also able to quantify some of the mitigations, sediment traps, etc., that David has implemented across his property that perhaps weren't accounted for via other modelling. So it allows us now to have an improved understanding of what some of these mitigations that are implemented on farm are actually contributing to in reducing, in this case, phosphorus loss as an example. So I think the advantage of this type of modelling is that it allows us to improve our understanding of the interaction of nutrient loss moving from a farm landscape to the aquatic environment, and it also allows us to understand the mitigations that we may be thinking about using, where they're most suitably placed on farm, and also how we're going to get best bang for buck in terms of our finances that we have to spend. And these can be incorporated, you know, either formally within a very formal farm plan or more informally within the planning that might go on a day-to-day basis on farm in terms of implementing those mitigations over time. And I guess this overall just reflects David's comments in paragraph 33 that it allows us to move or have an avenue for a non-regulatory approach in dealing with nutrient loss from farm to the greater environment.
Right, thank you, Mr. Risk. Just, I'm aware of the use of mitigator in other regions, such as in Hawke's Bay, used to underpin assessment of farm plans and critical source areas, etc. When is it likely to be commercially available?
At this stage, we're working through the final stages of the project, so we do have a working prototype, and that's what you see in the evidence here, and that's what we undertook on David's farm. But commercially available, likely later in the year.
Later this year?
Later this year, that's correct.
And will a farmer be able to use the mitigator model on their farm in terms of environmental farm planning, or will they need someone with your kind of qualifications and experience to drive the model?
It would likely be provided through a service of some description, which is still being worked through. Perhaps the risk maps are something that could be utilised by an individual more efficiently, but it's the interpretation thereafter that would likely need additional expertise.
So it's much like overseer, you really need to know what you're doing to run the mitigator model.
Yeah, with all modelling, it's important to have quality information going in the first instance to get a quality answer out the other end.
Okay, thank you for that. We'll see if we have any questions for you, Mark.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To what extent has mitigator been peer reviewed by independent parties?
It's been through a validation process via Ag Research, so that involved looking at measured values. So there's some around 45, 50 sites off the top of my mind measured against the modelled outputs. And that's available, those have been published papers. You can review those through the Fertiliser and Lime Research Centre website. 2013, there was two papers published along with other papers by Richard McDowell also. And yeah, the validation was favourable.
Thanks. That's all.
So there's no other tool like this at all in the market?
To my knowledge, there's no other tool that allows us to understand spatial nutrient loss, also including sediment and E. coli alongside nitrogen and phosphorus.
Just one question. Does this work alongside overseer, or does it work as a replacement to overseer?
Effectively, it's an adjunct to overseer because it takes the overseer base file initially, and then it combines that with spatial data, so soil slope, for example, in order to be able to get that spatial depiction of how nutrient loss occurs across the landscape. So the overseer file is bringing in the farm data, which is critical to nitrogen and phosphorus losses in the first instance.
So the follow-on to that is mitigator picks up a number of mitigations on farm that overseer does not recognise as being a positive to mitigation of the property. So it actually improves to a high definition what is actually happening on the property. Is that correct?
In some instances, for example, sediment traps aren't in overseer, so, and we don't have that spatial aspect to overseer, so putting that into a spatial nature allows us to improve our understanding of additional mitigations in a spatial context. So yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rest. Go to the next witness now. Broad, is it?